One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Martha is like the coolest person in the world. She's smart, pretty, and every boy I've ever known wants to date her. I've always watched her from the sidelines, always her sidekick. I wondered why we were sisters and yet so vastly different. Nevertheless, I supported my sister in everything. She was my hero. She was the one I looked up to and wished to be like. On the other hand, Dylan was the devil incarnate. He's the one who wants to take my sister away. Martha's always telling me all these horrible stories about her boyfriend and how he doesn't deserve her. Once she told me that Dylan bought her a fake diamond ring for their anniversary. I mean, sure, they're in high school, but Martha says Shane Owens bought Alyssa Gibbons a real diamond necklace for prom. If you can't buy your girlfriend a real diamond, then don't bother. That's what my sister says, and I totally agree with her. She cried on my shoulder that night and convinced me that Dylan was a no-good loser. I believe her. Martha said he even talked to other girls at school. What the heck? Martha said that's cheating, and I so believe her. She said she caught Dylan laughing at some joke that Nina Flowers cracked during lunch. And Martha came sobbing to me. I was so pissed, but I assured her it couldn't have meant anything. Come on, Martha, don't cry. I know, Dylan's a prick, but I'm sure he won't leave you for her or anyone else. Like, seriously, Nina Flowers? She looks like a jumped-up version of me. There's no way he'd flirt with a girl like that. You're like a goddess compared to her. Martha dried her tears and looked at me. Oh, yeah, I see it. You really do look a bit like her. Thanks, Don. Now, I'm not worried. I hugged my sister and comforted her. I was just glad I could help. Hi, everyone. My name's Donna. Martha would call me or text me when Dylan did something to piss her off, and I'd come running to my sister's aid. Oftentimes, it was little, mundane things, like Dylan forgetting to kiss her first thing in the morning, or not telling her how beautiful she is every single time they see each other. But, like Martha always says, those little things make big things. Other times, it's like earth-shattering, all-stars, top five boyfriend mistakes of all time. Like, on Valentine's Day, Dylan forgot that Martha once mentioned to him that she loved the smell of lavender. Instead of correctly showing up with a bunch of lavender in his hands, what did the big useless oaf do? Pick her up in a limo with 100 red roses in his hand. Like, seriously? Who even does that? Like, I specifically mentioned, like, I love lavender that one time when we went to that garden when we first met. Yeah, no. Totally, Mar. That was so rude of him. Martha hugged me tight and cried into my shoulder. You're the only one who understands me. Sometimes I had to leave stuff just so I could comfort her. I felt for her, you know? She was the prettiest, nicest girl I knew, and the guy she likes keeps mistreating her. Of course I'd drop everything and go to her. One time I was at a debate championship, and I heard that her and Dylan got into a fight. Did you think I finished that competition? Heck nah! I flew straight back home to be with my sister. But time passed, and I guess, somehow, Martha just settled into being with Dylan. We all graduated college and started lives of our own. I met a boy. His name was Brian. And I was just happy that someone would actually pay attention to me next to my sister. Anyway, as soon as Brian proposed to me, I said yes. It's been a few years, but I'm not in a rush. I know he's still saving up for the wedding. Brian and Martha got along really well, which was amazing. Of course, he didn't get along so well with Dylan. Nobody does, I swear. That guy so doesn't deserve my sister. But I guess love is blind. My sister caught him talking to that homewrecker, Nina, again. Yeah, years later, they're still at it. Dylan denied everything Martha accused him of course, but it was too late. Dylan said he was just asking about having Nina's store sponsor Dylan's charity drive, but duh, who'd believe that? Nina's always had a crush on Dylan. Everybody knows that. At least, that's what Martha told me. And this doofus who still hasn't proposed to my sister has the gall, the audacity, the gumption to cheat on my sweet saint of a sister. How dare he? I've had enough, Don. I swear. I've had it up to here. He needs to be exposed. I want the world to see what a lying, cheating, no good monster he is. Agreed. Then you'll help me? Huh? You'll help me expose him. I already have a plan. No matter what, I love my sister. And no matter how uncomfortable I was with what she wanted to do, I agreed. She's my sister. I love her. And I wanted her to have the world. So I wore a nice dress. I texted Dylan. And I convinced him to go out with me. It wasn't hard. I swear, this guy will hit on a post if it had a skirt around it. What he didn't know was that I was wearing a wire and a tiny camera we cleverly stitched inside a flower in my dress was recording everything from the moment he picked me up. It was time we exposed Dylan's cheater behavior to the 100,000 followers my sister and him had on their couple's YouTube channel. Once we were having dinner, I flirted with him hard, and it wasn't a surprise that he responded the way Martha said he would. He laughed at my jokes, and he smiled at me with those puppy eyes. He touched my hand really gently, and he was so unexpectedly nice. He hung on to every word that left my lips, as if I was saying the most important things in the world. I admit, I was tempted for a second there. For a second, I really fell for his act. For a second, I thought he was a genuinely kind, nice man. And then I remembered what Martha said. This was his game. This was how he lured her in and made her think that he was one of the good guys. Even as I was sinking deeper and deeper into Dylan's eyes, I had to remind myself that he was a wolf in sheep's clothing. He was doing all this even though he was with my sister. Imagine that! He was a sicko, and I had to stop him. Dylan paid for dinner, and then we drove. I thought he was driving me home. Instead, he brought me to this beautiful beach just as the sun was setting. Oh, crap. It was happening. This was the moment, and I needed to make sure I got everything on camera. Finally, their followers are gonna know what a horrible man Dylan actually was.
You know, I've always thought about you as the better sister. I was stupid not to have seen it ages ago. Back in high school, I was dumb. I went after your sister because she was pretty, and I thought you were weird. But now I realize you are way more than she will ever be, and I really regret not realizing that before it was too late.
I blushed. It wasn't under my control. Dylan had hypnotized me. He took my hand, and the waves were like violins in the background, and I got swept away. He kissed my hand, and I stopped breathing. And then, just as the last rays of the sun made the whole horizon the deep red hue of love, Dylan leaned in to kiss me. And that was when I snapped out of the spell. I pushed him away and began to laugh.
Gotcha! Martha, did you see that? He totally fell for it! This is a trap, you loser! You really are a cheater! She was right all along! Martha and I planned this whole thing to show the world how you're cheating on her. This is a setup. It's all her idea.
Suddenly, my sister, who was quiet the whole time, began shouting in the earpiece she made me wear.
What are you doing? This wasn't in the plan. You're not supposed to say this was planned. You can't say that. Oh my God, we're losing viewers. People are laughing in the comments. No!
What? What viewers? Martha,
Are you streaming right now?
You didn't tell me. You...
Martha? Are our friends and family watching all this? Oh, no! Brian! Martha!
Stop talking. I can't believe this. Seriously. Are you talking to your sister right now? You're streaming this whole thing. I can't believe you would stoop this low, Martha. I bet you... I know why she's doing this. She wants to be the victim, as always. Did she even tell you why she's doing this?
Because you cheated on her with Nina Flowers.
Nina? Seriously? You realize Nina's a lesbian, right? She has a girlfriend. Not only that, Nina's my cousin. Did she tell you that?
What?
Yes, Donna. You should really learn to not believe every word your sister says. She's a lying, manipulative cheater. And she always has been.
Stop it! My sister might not be perfect, but she will never, ever be a cheater.
Dylan laughed hysterically, and then he spoke into the camera when he figured out where it was. Oh, so you really didn't tell her everything, huh? Well then, let me illuminate you, Donna. In my earpiece, I could hear my sister yelling, "No! Dylan, don't you dare!" I didn't come on this date to cheat on your sister. I broke up with her 2 weeks ago. You know why? Because I found out she's been cheating with your fiancé. Yeah, good old Brian. Caught them making out on New Year's Eve while you were in the kitchen making food. By the sound of my sister's silence, I knew it was true. I was furious. My whole life, I did everything for her. But she had to take my Brian? I did something I never would have thought I'd do. I took the camera off and pointed it at us, and I kissed Dylan. I could hear the satisfying cheers of the viewers in my head, and that was when I heard Martha cut out of the feed. Guess now she knows not to use people for her own agenda. I broke up with Brian just to spite Martha. I dated Dylan, but then I realized Dylan wasn't at all the monster my sister led me to believe he was. In fact, he's the nicest guy I know. We fell in love, and soon we got married. Now, Martha's single, and nobody wants to date her thanks to that damning viral live stream she brought upon her.
No, I'm not going to give up that easily, I thought as I sat in the cave. No one would find me here for sure, except for the group of tourists who'd come here on a field trip. Not only that, I found myself in a terribly uncomfortable situation because I was in a filthy cave in my wedding dress. I got kicked out of there in disgrace. It turned out that I was hiding in the tourist zone. Whoever thought of doing tours in caves? It stinks and is boring as hell. But as soon as I got outside, I was immediately picked up by my fiancé Jacob's men. Oh man, now I really have to get married. Hi. My name's Lily, and my mom's making me get married, so I don't have to be dependent on her anymore. My mother should get the Mother of the Year award, because she's done enough to annoy me over the past year, and also caused me serious injury. It's her fault I broke my arm, because she made me work as a janitor in the winter, and then one morning, when the power went out all over town, I slipped in the dark, fell down, and blacked out, and when I woke up, I had a cast on my arm. I was in terrible pain, but instead of words of encouragement, my mother said, "You did it on purpose so you wouldn't have to work." Do I look crazy? No, you're just lazy. You're useless. You can feel sorry for my mother. She's got such a grown-up daughter who's still not working. But the thing is, we're pretty well off, and we don't need anything. But my mother got it into her head that I have to work because I'm 18 years old now. The thing is, her friend's daughter has been working since she was 16 and helping the family. And my mom hears from her friend all the time about how great her daughter is. And then she blows her brains out that I should set an example. So adopt her. I once got angry. I'm not going to sacrifice my time for your whims. I'm actually at university, and if I work, I wouldn't have time to study. That's just an excuse, Lily. If you wanted to, you could find a way. I don't want to, so leave me alone. But Mom was determined not to give up, and I found out the next morning when I got into the shower and cold water was pouring down on me. I screamed so loud, the whole neighborhood must have heard me. I ran out of the shower right away, and I yelled at my mom, and she just shrugged her shoulders and said that the water had been cut off for non-payment because I don't work, so there's no hot water for me. Of course, I knew my mother turned off the heater herself by turning the valve. What are you talking about, daughter? I just didn't have the money to pay the water bill, and no one helps me financially. Soon, we probably won't even have electricity. I got really pissed off, and I had to go to my friend Melissa's house to take a shower. I felt really uncomfortable, but luckily, she understood. Melissa thought my mom was wrong, but I wasn't just lying on the couch all day with my phone on all day. I'm in school, and I'm an A student. Then my mom started selling stuff that I wasn't buying with my allowance. It was my money, so I'm entitled. Mom, you're crazy. We're doing fine. Why are you ruining it? You don't want to hear me. You don't want to understand me. I was able to get my laptop back, but I had to say goodbye to my old console, a fitness watch, and a new leather jacket. But even that didn't break me because I kept standing on my ground. My studies would come first, even if I had no fight with my mom about it. And then I had an unexpected surprise. I came home from the university, and I saw a beautifully set table. Mom even bought me a new dress. What's the catch? Are you going to take it away tomorrow? Of course not, honey. Get dressed. We have guests coming over. A family visited us. I immediately noticed a very handsome boy. It turned out to be my mother's colleagues and their son. The guy was shy, but that only added to his charm. He and I had a nice chat about games, movies, and studying. I really liked the guy, but only until I found out something. My mom has a thing for talking loudly on the phone. She thought I'd gone to bed, but in fact, I was finishing my literature essay. And that's when I heard that it wasn't just guests. Turns out, our parents want to marry us. What? But why would mom do that? What's she up to? I ran out of the room right away. I reached the phone out of her hands, and I threw it at the wall, feeling like I was the coolest agent 007 ever. I heard that! What are you up to? If you don't want to work and help me, then you're gonna get married. So you don't have to sit on my neck anymore, Lily. I was so shocked. I stood there, like an ice-cold statue for a minute. When I came to myself, my mother had already locked herself in the bedroom. No! This is too much! I'm not marrying anyone! Never! Meanwhile, my mother called the family back in for dinner. I dressed up like a real goth. I climbed up on the table. I threw away all the food, and then I started singing Rammstein songs. Well, that's just to scare the guests.
You guys are crazy! Like the Addams Family!
The man exclaimed. And we have a coffin in the closet! I said, and I laughed wickedly. The guests immediately ran away in terror, and then I ran out of the house to avoid the hot hand of my wicked mother. I hid at Melissa's and told her everything. My friend suggested an interesting theory. Your mother probably wants you to work for a reason. Maybe she really does have some problems that you don't know about. That seemed like a sensible idea to me. The next day, I went through my mother's things, and I found something interesting. Turns out, about 6 months ago, she got mixed up with scammers who scammed her out of a lot of money. So that's why she wants me to go to work so bad. Mom has debts that for some reason I have to pay off. When I told Mom that I knew her secret, she was able to get away with it. I needed money for a gift. You asked so hard for an electric scooter. But I didn't ask to go into debt. That's your problem. We argued for a long time. And the very next day, another fiancé came to visit us, very wealthy, handsome, but terribly spoiled. I didn't like him at first sight, but my mother begged me to marry him. We'll settle our debts, and then you'll get a divorce. You might even get something in the divorce. Do it for me. No way! However, that guy didn't know how to take no for an answer, and he got us married. But I wasn't going to give up either. So I ran away from my own wedding and hid in a cave. And then, you know the rest, and when we danced the first dance, he purposely stepped on my feet. And I responded by throwing a piece of cake at him, as a joke. The guests laughed. I laughed too. But Jacob, on the other hand, he was furious. Believe me, I did everything to get him to divorce me. I ruined his food, I burned his clothes with an iron, and once I sold cheaply through an online store for the goods he was supposed to ship to his business associates in another country. But Jacob remained undeterred. At least, that's what I thought, until we had a social evening. Jacob came on stage, told me how much he loved me and cherished me, and then he showed people a slideshow of wedding photos. Except it wasn't wedding photos. They were mine, shameful ones, which the whole society saw. "Now you've lost," Jacob said angrily. Then he came up to me. "Let's just get a divorce. I'd love to, except our parents signed a contract, and I have to put up with you for a year." A year? I couldn't believe my ears. I couldn't hold back the tears of despair. Jacob didn't even feel sorry for me. Just like that, I was all alone. It was good that I could go to the university and get support from Melissa. But my mom didn't see how miserable I was. She talked me into staying with Jacob forever because he's insanely rich, and he certainly wouldn't skimp on gifts and expensive things. "There's no way in hell I'm staying with that jerk," I screamed. The year went by unbearably slowly, and I finally got my divorce. In the divorce, I had no claim on Jacob's family money, but he gave me $200,000 himself. "Buy yourself a house and move away from your crazy mother," my ex-husband said, and then he added, "I'm sorry about what happened. It's been a sucky year for both of us." "That's for sure, but thanks for the money. I could use it." After the divorce, I immediately bought a house on the coast. It wasn't a new one, but I didn't care. My mother wanted to move in with me. She'd always wanted to move out of that cramped apartment and into a house of her own. "Oh no, I'm going to live here alone," I said. "Lily, how could you do this to your own mother? How could you do this to your own daughter? You got yourself into debt, and you made me pay it off without thinking about my schooling or what I wanted. If it weren't for me, you wouldn't have this house. I'm the one who made you marry Jacob." "Yes, and that was a terrible year, too. Even that $200,000 wouldn't make up for it. I don't want to see you." I closed the door in front of my mother, and I cried. I was very hurt that she couldn't understand me, and it hurt even more that I would no longer be able to communicate with her. My mother had betrayed me. Melissa and I renovated my new house together, and then one night, Jacob showed up at my door. "Did something happen?"
"Yeah, I don't have anybody to talk to, and I have a problem."
Jacob told me his business is failing, and he has nowhere else to go, because all his friends and majors had turned their backs on him. My friend wanted him out, because she knew how he humiliated me at that social gathering. "No, he's staying. And even though my ex-husband and I weren't friends, he gave me money after the divorce and helped me move out of my mother's house. I helped Jacob come to his senses after he lost his business. I also suggested a good idea for a startup. He loved the idea, but I had to sell the house to make it happen. Melissa thought the guy was going to screw me, but Jacob didn't. Instead, he took a cut, and now we're making money together from the business. The business helped us get closer and become friends. However, no amount of money helped me to reconcile with my mother. She was now resentful of me, but I didn't want to crawl on my knees in front of her either. But I hope that in future, we can forgive each other. Do you think my mom deserved forgiveness? Write your answers in the comments, like the video, and subscribe to the channel. I stepped back in fear, thinking I was dead. With my back against the wall, I squeezed my eyes shut and couldn't hold back a scream. Now this huge hot dog was going to kill me for sure. Why did we even come out of the bunker? Hi. My name's Stacy, and I lived in a bunker with my family for 17 years, and it honestly wasn't the best idea to come out of there. But back to me and the killer hot dog, which was reaching out to me. He must have had a gun in there. I screamed even louder, and I think the hot dog himself was scared by my scream.
"Come on, it's just a flyer for a coffee shop. You don't have to react like that. No, I mean, I know I've pissed off everyone in this neighborhood, but your reaction, miss, is very hurtful, you know."
"What? You can talk?" I asked with a dumbfounded expression, touching a soft hot dog. "It's strange. It's made of some kind of material, pleasant to the touch. Isn't it real?
Of course I can. I'm actually a human being too, and you should respect my work.
An offended hot dog threw some colorful flyers at my feet and walked away to my loud laughter. I couldn't calm down when I imagined what the whole situation looked like from the outside. And I didn't know people here dressed up in food costumes to promote the food itself. Well, that's not a bad move. I took the flyer and went to the cafe to get my free hot dog. And while I ate the tastiest food in the world, sitting at a table, I thought about my parents, who are probably looking all over town for me. We came out of the bunker not long ago. Honestly, I thought I'd spend my whole life in it, because Mom and Dad were terrified of the outside world. They always told me it wasn't safe here, and I believed them, even though it made me sad. We had a lot of books in the bunker, and I read them every day, and they were so interesting and exciting. I wanted to see more and more of the outside world every day. But then, something clicked in their heads, and they realized that they couldn't keep me in isolation forever. So when I turned 17, we went out on the surface, and I was blown away by how big and noisy the world really was. Honestly, I was expecting to see vast oceans and pirates. And by the way, I did see them. Except they weren't sailing in a huge ship. They were entertaining children near some tall building. I ran up to them with a happy smile, and I told them I wanted to be a pirate too, to look for treasure. The pirate even got confused, and I took away his sword and began to scare the children, thinking that they probably want to take the chest of gold. But the children were not frightened. They laughed and shouted for joy, and one of them even took my sword and bent it. It's not real? I wondered.
Of course it isn't real, the pirate grumbled.
So you're not a real pirate? I was about to burst into tears.
Girl, are you out of the woods? Pirate don't exist since a long time ago. Now go away and don't interfere with children's party.
Not only had I been insulted, but I was disappointed in pirates. But that wasn't the worst part. I lost my head so much in joy when I saw the pirates that I ran away from my parents and got lost. At first, panic overwhelmed me, and I couldn't breathe. The high-rises were floating in front of my eyes, and my head was spinning. But when I calmed down, I realized this was a great chance to explore the real world. I was sure my parents had limited me in many ways. And then, an epic encounter with a hot dog happened, which scared the crap out of me, because I didn't know that food had learned to walk. But as it turned out, it was just a man who made me try a hot dog for the first time in my life. To be honest, I was getting pretty tired of canned food when I walked out of the cafe, insanely happy. I almost got hit by a car on the road.
Look where you're going!
The driver shouted at me.
You watch where you're going! Can't you see that the light is red?
Girls aren't allowed to cross the road on red. The driver, upon hearing this, wagged his finger at my temple, and I showed him my tongue and crossed the road still, even though other cars were honking their horns. Oh, what strange rules they have. Who decided to discriminate against women and forbid them to cross the road at a red light? But as soon as I stepped back from that rudeness, someone grabbed my arm.
Jin, how many times do we have to look for you? We're in the middle of a photo shoot.
There was a disgruntled woman standing in front of me I've never seen before in my life. But I didn't.
Let's go, otherwise Alex will be furious. What's the matter with you anyway? You're dressed like you just got out of the bunker.
But I am.
That's a good one, Jean. But now is not the time for it.
I spent the whole trip trying to explain to the stranger that she'd mistaken me with someone else. But the woman was either on the phone with someone else or she wasn't paying attention to me. We arrived at some studio. The photographer looked at me unhappily and said I looked terrible. Is everyone here so rude? I got indignant and crossed my arms.
You act like it's your first day on the job, girl.
Alex snorted.
Run and get changed. I don't want to see that trash on you again.
They took me to a room with a big mirror, and I got makeup and cool fancy clothes, which were more like shapeless rags. How are my clothes any worse? They're even better. What kind of fashion is this? During the photo shoot, Alex kept yelling at me because my posing was awful, and I didn't know how else to stand. I wanted to cry and go back to the bunker because my loving parents were waiting for me there, not angry photographers.
You're crying too? You're crazy. We're gonna have to do your makeup all over again.
I'm not Jin. Leave me alone.
Have you been out till morning again? You feel very bad if you don't get enough sleep.
That's enough. I'm leaving.
They tried to stop me. Fortunately, the real Jin appeared in the studio at that time. She stared at me in utter shock. Alex and that woman were also surprised. They'd mistaken their model with me. However, there was no apology from them. They just threw me out, calling me a fraud. How rude people are, after all. After that incident, I sat down on the pavement and I cried. I was so scared. I was lost and didn't know how to find my parents. I wanted to go back to the bunker. And even though it was cramped and gloomy, it was a normal environment for me and my family. I walked down the street as far as I could see until I met a policeman. Seeing my condition, he asked me what had happened. I told him the details of my situation. He didn't believe me about the bunker, but he promised to find my parents. They took me to the police station, where I spent full 24 hours. But it was worth it, because the next night, my parents came to pick me up.
Stacy, honey, we're so glad we found you.
We were so worried.
Me too.
I hugged Mom and Dad, and I cried tears of joy. The policeman asked me sternly if it was true that we were living in a bunker. I just wanted to say that it was true. My father interrupted and said,
"That a bunker is what we call our little provincial town."
Later, my parents explained to me that we shouldn't tell outsiders where we lived. Are we going back to the bunker? No, my daughter, my mother said, and she stroked my head. We'll live here now. I was very upset because I didn't like this world at all. In the books, it was different, but in reality, it was noisy and dusty and terribly cruel. Turns out, my parents had an apartment all along. We started living there. At first, it was very hard for me to fall asleep in a soft bed, going out to the store every day and standing in huge lines. But most of all, for some reason, it was the loud music that scared me. I wanted to hide from it as quickly as possible. Also, it seemed very strange to me that people would ask me how I was doing, but when I started to tell them my life story, they didn't listen to me at all. How silly. They asked, didn't they? However, I really liked the internet. But when I started using it, I ran into some scammers. They stole all the money from my dad's account that I'd been saving in there for 20 years. Can you believe it? I was so ashamed. I even tried to lie about having nothing to do with it.
You think the money disappeared on its own?
Dad frowned. Of course. The internet is so unpredictable and confusing. But in the end, Dad cracked me up and only scolded me for lying to him. That's how we ended up with no money. I was insanely ashamed of what I'd done, and I wanted to give my father back all his savings. But how? I don't know how to do anything. I didn't even go to school. They probably wouldn't hire me without it. However, good luck turned to me. One day, I met the very same Jin in a store. The girl recognized me and apologized for the way I'd been treated so rudely. And then, she made me a lucrative offer. Since we looked so much alike, we could do a couple's photo shoot. That would be awesome. The PR people would come up with a story about missing twins who meet up years later. But that's a lie, I objected. Yeah, but why do we care? They'll pay a lot. That's all that matters. Do you agree? Of course, I said yes. After all, our family needed the money. But I really didn't like modeling. Everyone yelled at me. They were always pulling my hair. And I had to pose for hours at a time. Oh, it was exhausting. Jin, on the other hand, was happy with everything. She once told me that we were making a lot of money now, and she was giving half of it to me. But then I found out by chance that she wasn't giving me half of what she earned, but only a third. Even she lied to me, although I trusted her, told her about the problems in the family. But Jin was devoid of empathy, and she cared more about making money than about my trouble. After that, I quit my job, even though I needed the money. Our family would get by somehow. But I wasn't going to put up with the lie, because I knew that if you've been cheated once, then they would cheat you the second and third time. My parents, learning about this situation, supported me and then made an appointment to see a psychologist. because every day in the big city, I was getting worse and worse. Thanks to therapy, I stopped being afraid of music, big buildings, and the strange people that were all around me. And I finally started using the subway. And I even felt comfortable there. The subway was underground. It reminded me remotely of my home bunker. Later, when our family had money, my parents hired me a homeschooling teacher so I wouldn't look too stupid at 17. That's how drastically my life changed when I came out of the bunker. I'm used to it now, and I remember my past adventures with laughter. How would you feel in the big city after living in isolation? Write your answers in the comments. Click the bell so you don't miss new stories. And like this video.
Hey guys, my name is Gloria. And you won't believe it, but I eat money. I love its taste and crunch. But it was not always like this. It's just that at some point I wanted to try something new in my life. To be honest, this turned into certain trouble for me. I live in a very wealthy family. My parents are big businessmen who sell cars all over the world. So I have everything that any teenager can dream of, and even more than that. For example, on my 13th birthday, my parents gave me a yacht on which I had a cool party. And when I turned 14, I got a helicopter. And if you think that's cool, you're wrong. You see, when a person doesn't have a lot of money, they can dream and get incredible emotions from purchases. But I can't do that. I have everything, and I no longer dream of anything. And new expensive things do not evoke any emotions in me. Lately, I have lived as if in a vacuum that was covered with gold. Everything around me was shining and sparkling. But this didn't impress me. However, one day, everything changed. Once, my classmates and I were hiking, but had a little trouble. The branches of the trees were wet because of the recent rain, which, by the way, hadn't been mentioned in the weather forecast. In addition, Leo even forgot to take paper, despite the fact that he was responsible for the things that were necessary for the fire. This meant that we would not be able to make it. We were already getting a bit nervous because Leo's lips were blue from cold, and my hands became numb. The rest of my classmates tried to keep warm by hugging each other. We needed too much time to go back, but we were already exhausted, so we had to stay there and shiver with cold. Some of us have already begun to think that we would freeze to death there. And for some reason, it was at this moment that one brilliant idea came to my mind. I completely forgot that I had several bundles of notes in my backpack. I took them out, calmly set them on fire, and then put more or less dry branches on them. This was how we got fire. The guys didn't cry as much from the horror stories that we told each other on the way as from me burning the money. They were really upset seeing this. While I actually felt some kind of pleasure. I loved seeing shocked faces around me, and it evoked emotions in me. I decided not to stop there. So when I got home, I ordered the housekeeper to light the fireplace. And when the flame was blazing in it, I was throwing green bills there. I enjoyed watching the fire consuming them, because at that moment, I felt almost like the lord of the world who could afford anything. However, I quickly got tired of it, and again I found myself in a void. But I did not want to be there so much that I decided to do another crazy thing. I smashed my car, which cost several million, with a bat. And after that, I cut many of my branded clothes with scissors. But the problem is that I still do not feel joy and happiness at all. And then, one evening, while suffering from idleness, I was watching a YouTube video of a girl eating a $100 bill. At that moment, I thought that she was crazy. But a little later, this idea seemed very tempting to me. I took a $10 bill, tore it in half, and ate it. Well, you won't believe it, but I even liked the taste of money. Also, the note crunched so cool on my teeth. And since then, I ate several bills every day. Once, I came up with the idea of making a salad out of money and adding garlic sauce to it. That was yummy. But then I wanted to show everyone how cool I was. Right at school, I made myself a sandwich with $100 bills and ate it in front of my classmates, licking my fingers. They were shocked and asked why I was doing this. I replied that I liked the taste of money and then suggested that they try the wonderful sandwich too. Leo said that I was nuts and I was doing some kind of bullshit. Because of my antics, I lost a friend who, for some reason, didn't want to talk to me. He began to ignore me, and it seemed silly to me because I did not judge him for eating a lot of burgers. However, Leo's ignoring did not stop me, and every day I continued to eat money in the school cafeteria. The guys told me that I was crazy while I found their reaction funny, and then I decided to go to a new level. After coming to the park, I sat down on a bench, took out my wallet, and started eating money. I also made a thick straw out of bills and began drinking a milkshake. Some people were looking back at me, while others were making comments, and one guy even took my wallet with money and ran away with it. I just laughed at it, because it was already empty. Then some old lady sat down next to me, and after looking at what I was doing, she condemned me and said that I did not value anything in this life. I didn't want to listen to the moral teachings on how I should behave, so I decided to visit my favorite cafe to get a coffee and cheesecake. But this turned out to be a real disaster for me because I was badly poisoned and in the evening called an ambulance to be taken to the hospital. While I was lying in the ward after the stomach wash and waiting for my test results, I published an angry review on the page of that cafe, mentioning that one could easily get poisoned there. However, when the doctor entered the room, he said that the printing ink caused my poisoning. He asked what I had eaten on that day, and I told him everything, emphasizing on the coffee and cheesecake. But the doctor said that my addiction to banknotes, which were soaked in a very dangerous and toxic paint, was to blame. He added that if I had continued to do the same thing, I would have died of poisoning very soon. I immediately deleted the review from the restaurant page and thought that I would again have to look for some crazy way to evoke emotions in myself. And I will also have to say goodbye to the wonderful taste of money. This made me really upset. And because of negative thoughts, I could no longer stay in bed. I decided to take a short walk down the hospital corridor and call my parents. They were abroad at that moment, but promised to send a driver with a package of normal food. And when I was waiting for it, I noticed a girl not far from me who was sitting on a chair and reading a book. I was very bored and decided to chat with her. Her name was Dina, and she also got to the hospital because of poisoning. We got into a conversation, and I thought that Dina was a very interesting girl who was wise beyond her years. When I was handed a whole bag of groceries, I was very happy, and then I noticed with what desire Dina looked at it. I asked if she had anything to eat besides hospital food, and she said that her parents didn't have the money to buy that much food. It turned out that Dina was from a poor family where all the attention was devoted to her disabled younger brother. He needed care and expensive medicines, which consumed most of the family budget. Dina said that she was not mad at her parents because they were trying to help him. Her story moved me, so I gave her my entire package. I also felt terribly ashamed. For a long time, I did not know what to do with money, and because of that, I started eating it, while many people cannot afford even basic food. Ugh, what a blind idiot I was. Before my discharge, I handed Dina a check for $100,000 to make it easier for her family to support the children. She refused it at first, but I still convinced her to accept the check. And then I decided to help other children and families. That's why I gave all my pocket money to charity funds, so that there would be more and more happy and healthy people in this world every day. Why haven't I thought about this before? It's so great to help others. While being engaged in charity work, I finally began to experience vivid emotions, which were, in fact, only positive. It was much cooler than burning and eating money because they made me feel relevant and useful. If you had as much money as I do, what would you do with it? Give your answers in the comments. Don't forget to click on the thumbs up button below the video and be sure to share it with your friends. Bye-bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.